Trust everybody's doing well.
Yes, sir.
Great, great. We're praying. We get right into our lesson for tonight. Father, thank you for your good. You got sound?
Yes,
check one, two. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, God. All as always, Father, thank you for giving us an opportunity to mature. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you so much for the price that you paid. God, thank you for giving us this apostolic school, this apostolic training center. Thank you for our apostle. Thank you for the other instructors, the other apostolic instructors. Father, bless them. Bless every student, not only those that are here in Darrell, but those that are watching by internet. Father, bless them. Cause them to increase. Cause them to receive all their dreams, to achieve everything they're dreaming about. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight we're going to be in chapter 9. I know that's what your exam was on, right?
Yes, sir.
We'll go with chapter 9. Chapter 9 is such an important chapter. As I stated before, last time we were together, that this particular chapter is going to give us, if you allow me to say it, a cheat sheet as to covenant and to for us to understand what we should be looking for in covenant, or rather what qualities we should be looking for in covenant and what qualities we should be exemplifying when we're in covenant. And this, the name of this chapter is really from the author's perspective to other leaders. But I like the way he wrote it, because this particular chapter he was writing to other leaders, but giving us a chance to see what leaders expect from us. And not only should what leaders expect from us, but anybody that we're in covenant with, what we should expect for them. And so we're going to go over these various points, and I hope that it causes you to change where you need to change, causes you to become more aggressive where you need to become more aggressive, or more intense, if you allow me to say it, and just put yourself in a position. Because as I say it always, I pretty much quote the scripture every class period, because I believe the scripture. I believe the scripture. I govern my life after the scripture. Galatians 6 and 7. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I can't ask, or I can't expect to be in covenant with people who have the same intensity that I have if I first don't sow it. So this particular chapter is going to show us these things and give us insight to it. If you would turn to 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. This chapter is going to help us establish principles that make a distinguishment between those who are called and those who are not. Now, listen, here's one of the because we haven't operated apostolically as a church for a while, we have a tendency to think, or not think, but we forget that we are the body of Christ. That we are the body of Christ. What I mean by the body of Christ? The body of Christ has different functions, different graces, different agendas. Same kingdom, different agenda. Give you an example. We have in our government, we have three branches of government. Everybody knows three branches of government: executive, judicial, and legislative. Right?
Yes,
but they all have the same constitution.
Right.
But they all have different agendas and functions under that constitution. So just because the judicial branch don't do what the executive branch does don't mean that they're not together. So my point is that a lot of times you run across other Christians that don't necessarily believe what you believe. That don't mean that they're wrong. That just simply means they don't believe what you believe. They're not going to hell for it. You're going to meet a bunch of Christians in heaven that didn't believe in praying in other tongues. That don't mean they're going to hell. It just means that they didn't receive the power that was due to them here while they was on earth. So you have to, when I say this, we have to understand that the reason why I said that is because this decision that you make when you come into covenant with somebody has to be a personal decision. It cannot be a group decision. It cannot be a fad decision. FAD decision. It has to be a decision of conviction. It has to be a decision of this is what I know I'm supposed to do. I can't really be concerned with what anybody else do. Everybody else can do what they need to do, but I got to do what I got to do. Is that making sense? So you're going to find people that you run across that just don't believe what you believe. That don't mean you get in a confrontation with them. That don't mean you get in an argument with them. That's just what they believe. And it is what it is. So they're going to receive what God has for them, and you're going to receive what God has for you. When you do that, it makes it easy for you to follow what God is telling you to do. It makes it easy for you to follow who God is telling you to follow. Are you seeing this? So as we begin to go into these different characteristics, you're going to find that you're going to know some, you're going to recognize some people, names will come up in your mind, people that you're acquainted with, that you're going to realize now you're going to understand why you're at odds with them. Even though you shouldn't be at odds, even though we're both sisters and brothers in Christ, but we're at odds because we don't have the same agenda.
Yes, sir.
We're in the same kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Jesus made a powerful statement to his disciples one time. Disciples came to him and said, Jesus, they got some people on the other side, people over here that's casting out demons, doing these things. And Jesus said, wait a minute, are they doing the same thing we're doing? They were like, yeah, he said, but they're with us then.
Right.
They're not against us.
Right.
See? So one of the first things, that brings me to my first, watch this. You have to be joined to a person. What I mean by the person? A person means is the leader that embodies the grace that's affecting your life. See, you have to understand that the agenda of God does not begin with you. Listen to me, that the agenda of God does not begin with you. For you to say, or you to even think that there's nobody that I can be connected to help bring to pass the kingdom of God's agenda, what you're saying is that it begins with me. That means everybody came before me was doing it wrong. If you're on an island by yourself, what you're saying is God just start talking to man when I was born. You get this? So you have to be joined to a person. That means somebody who God has had their hands on long before he had his hands on you. Are you seeing this? So in joining a person, you must be attracted to the person and not just their anointings or their gifting. See, this is why the 1 Corinthians 13 is so important, the love chapter. You know, the love of God has to be, in Romans 5:5, it says the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God has to be shed abroad in your, if you don't have the love of God, you cannot walk in covenant. Here's what the love of God does. See, people misunderstand when Romans 5:5 talks about the love of God. Listen to me, internet, talks about the love of God. I don't know if some of y'all are ready to walk in the love of God. I don't know if some of y'all are ready, because the love, all right, let's break this down. The love of God, right? That means the love that belongs to God, God's love. has been shed abroad in our hearts by who? The Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5, right? But I don't know if some of y'all are ready to walk in the love of God. Because to walk in the love of God, you got to put up with some stuff. All right, think about this. Think about all that God put up with you. Before you got born again, okay, and after you got born again, and he never changes. And that same love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So without that type of love, you can't walk in covenant. Because here's one thing about humanity. Humanity is prone to mistakes.
Absolutely.
Humanity is prone to not get it right. So you got to have the love of God shed abroad in your hearts to be able to look beyond that and say, I'm connected to this person. Is this making sense? So you can't be just attracted to their anointing or what burdens they can remove, what yokes they can destroy. You have to be concerned about them. The transfer of anointing from Elijah to Elisha cannot take place based on flesh connection. It wasn't based on whether, watch this, it wasn't based on whether Elisha was kissing up to Elijah. That wasn't an issue. It was based on Elisha having the same passion as Elijah. Remember I told you last class, God told Elijah to do 3 things. Remember that? He only did 1. Who did the other 2? Elisha. Elisha did the other 2. So that means that Elisha was not just concerned about the anointing on Elijah's life. He was also concerned about fulfilling what God had told Elijah to do. Is that making sense? So that's why, see, a man or woman of God is the carrier of the agenda of God. That's why Jesus had to become flesh. He had to become flesh to carry out the agenda of God. If Jesus had not become flesh, there could not be no redemption. That was an agenda of God. That's what the ark was for. That's what all of the Passovers were for, was trying to bring redemption to his people, to his chosen people. But it could not be finalized until the perfect time when Jesus could become flesh. So when Jesus became flesh, he walked into this earth carrying the agenda of God. So God has always allowed man to be responsible for carrying his agenda. Not only carrying his agenda, but responsible for bringing his agenda to the next generation. That's why it's important that you must become in love. You must be in love with your leader. You must have the love of God must be displayed towards your leader. What that means? That means that I'm not going to try to use my money to control my leader. Because I tithe to the church, I'm not going to try to use that as a means of control. Because I'm concerned, whatever passions my leader have, I have the same passions. So therefore, instead of me now using money to show my abilities, I'm using my tithe to show my affection. Is that making sense?
Yes, sir.
It is by connecting personally that the transfer of legacy takes place. Connecting personally. Not from a distance, but personally. You must love the person. See, God said this in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He said, seek ye what? First. Right? But a lot of us, Which is, watch this. Let me finish what I'm saying before you shut me down. A lot of people are attracted to a leader or to a church because of what they can do for them. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Because I ain't following nobody that ain't showing no fruit.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I'm not going to a tree that ain't showing no fruit talking about I'm hungry. Ain't no sense of me walking to that tree and I don't see no apples hanging on the tree. Why am I bothering with this tree? Make no sense. So I'm going to a tree where they got fruit. But here's the thing. I can learn to produce my own fruit if I get to the root. So if I learn my leader's heart, what got them producing this fruit? Then I can produce my own fruit. So you cannot be in love with the results and not in love with the person. Gehazi was in love with the results. That's what he was serving for. He was serving for the results. And when he couldn't get the results quick enough, he decided to try to manipulate the system. And we all know the story. He got leprosy instead of legacy. As compared to Elisha, who loved it. Man, one of the most powerful things about Elisha was Elisha had just got through asking for a double portion. Mm-hmm. Elijah said, if you see me when I'm gone, you'll get it. Elisha saw him when he left, got the double portion. But the first thing was on Elisha's mind is, my master is gone. He got what he asked for. He got the double portion. So everything that Elijah was doing, he was able to be able to double it. That's why Elisha only did one thing. He did two out of the three. Are you seeing this? But his first focus was, my master is gone. My master ain't here. He's gone. My teacher is not here. The person who poured into me is not here. He's gone. Are you seeing this? You have to be in love with the person and not the results. Are y'all getting this? Go with me to 2 Kings, the second chapter. The sons of the prophets did not want to connect with Elijah personally. Matter of fact, they even come against him. Second Kings. Verse 7. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. Meaning Elijah and Elisha stood by Jordan. The other 50 was standing afar off. Now, here's my point about being joined to a person. Here's my point about being in a kingdom but not having the same agenda. Those other 50 prophets don't necessarily mean they were wrong. It's just they weren't going no further.
That's right.
See, one of the things that we as Christians have to understand and understand about people is that the most powerful thing God has given us is the ability of choosing. The right to choose. There are going to be some people that just will choose not to go no further. But don't let their choice not to go any further hinder you from going any further. Matter of fact, a lot of people, see, this is where a lot of people try to make the apostolic out to a cult, which is not. They try to make it out to a cult. Is I really don't have association beyond hey and hello with people who are not going the same direction I'm going in. I just don't. And it's not because I'm acting ugly. It's not because I'm mad at that person. Even if somebody decides to, even somebody say, I don't want to do this no more. This ain't the church I'm supposed to go to. Or this ain't what I want to do no more. I don't get mad. I don't get angry. I'm not acting funny with them for I just don't have time to conversate with them about anything kingdom wise. Because they're on a different agenda. They're going a different direction. So they're going a different direction. They're going to receive different instructions. I'm not going to get in the car with you trying to go to New Orleans and you say you're going to Baton Rouge. I'm not getting in the car with you. I'm trying to go to New Orleans. You're trying to go to Baton Rouge. Right. So why am I going to jump in the car with you?
Right.
Is that a good illustration?
Yeah.
So it's not going to Baton Rouge, is that wrong? No. No, going to Baton Rouge is not wrong. Neither going to New Orleans. We both trying to, we're going somewhere.
Right.
It's just we're not going the same direction.
Right.
So I'm not going to, I don't want to be riding with you going to Baton Rouge because I'm getting different instructions that don't match up with what I'm called to do.
Right.
Or that I'm getting different directions and not letting me get to where I need, to my destination, to my destiny.
Yeah.
You see? So these 50 prophets, they just wasn't going no further.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't stop Elisha from following Elijah. So that's why you had to be connected to a person. Are you seeing this? The transfer of grace is from a person, and only by accurate connecting with that person in covenant can the transfer be complete. That's it. Yeah, I mean, you can't. Listen, I always people think I'm crazy when I say this, but the anointing never leaves the earth realm. The anointing never leaves the earth realm. What you need an anointing in heaven for?
Right. That's right.
Can somebody please tell me what you need? Listen to me. Can somebody tell me why they need an anointing in heaven?
Right.
Ain't no burdens.
Right.
Ain't no yokes.
Ain't no yokes.
So the yoke, burden moving, yoke and strong power of God never leaves the earth. Because in heaven there's no burdens, there's no yoke, ain't no trouble. Everything is perfect in heaven. So when somebody when an anointed man or woman goes to heaven, the anointing is left here. Now, whether it's picked up by anybody is the real issue. So that's why you have to be connected to a person, not to their anointing.
Right.
Are y'all seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Second principle for find out those that will join us. Is they is discerning those who join us that they can't watch this. You have to go seek for your leader. In this particular, they came looking for David.
Mm-hmm.
See, a father may recognize a son, but it's up to the son to make the choice to be a son.
Yeah.
Or a daughter. Let me say son so I have to, y'all ladies not get mad at me, huh? Okay, oh, y'all say, okay, all right. All right, good. So, you know, you really want a father that's more concerned with God's agenda than they are with you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
The best way to say it is the best way to put it is how this is how I treat my wife. When I first got married, God spoke to me and said, "That's my daughter." I ain't even talked to her physical daddy yet. God said, "This is my daughter." So when you do her wrong, you do me wrong. So if I have a leader that's a concern with the agenda of God more than me, I'm safe.
Yeah.
I'm safe. Here's why I'm safe. I'm safe because when he or she is more concerned about the agenda of God than me, and I'm connected to them, that means God is going to use them to cause me to be molded however I need to be molded. So what? Watch this. Not only are the good things going to happen, but anything that's ugly in me, they're going to be the ones that rub me wrong to bring it out so I can deal with it. Is that making sense? So I have to. That's why in the apostolic, you have to be willing. This can't be. See, churches that don't operate apostolically and try to have a rules of engagement turns into control. It turns to control because now you begin to make people do things that they don't want to do. But in an apostolic driven or apostolic church, it's about being willing. So when the leader makes a decision, listen to me, when the leader makes a decision and you say, this is what I choose to do, then you have the power within yourself to say, am I going to turn with them or am I going to separate myself? So it's about seeking out. See, because watch this. If you want a leader that's more concerned with God's agenda than they are with you, because if they're more concerned with you, they care about your feelings. Yeah. Right. And we all know that feelings are fickle.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some, you know, some mornings I got to get up and talk to myself. Some mornings I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like talking to nobody. You know, I don't know. And your feelings come from how you've been thinking. So, you know, sometimes you get up and sometimes you didn't be on, be bothered with nobody. You're snapping people up. And so you got to check yourself because your feelings are out of whack. So now what if you had a leader that had to work around your feelings? We wouldn't get nothing accomplished because at any given time is a multiplicity of us with multiplicity of feelings. And so if our leader got to navigate amongst all these feelings, he or she might not be, won't be bothered with you that day. So he or she can't go by their feelings. It has to be by the agenda of God. You're safest when you have a leader that is more concerned with the agenda of God than they are with you. Because when they are concerned, see, the greatest lover of all is God. So if my leader is in love with God and God told me to be connected to them, then God's not going to cause them to do something. They're going to cause me harm.
Right.
So I want them more focused on what God is saying than how I feel.
Right. Yes, sir.
So I have to make the choice that I need to seek that person out. They don't have to come looking for me.
Right.
See, one of the things with the church now is, if somebody, we got to go looking for people all the time. We got to check with people. That's why apostles working on maturity so much, because we ain't seen this person in 2 weeks. What's wrong with you? Where you at? Not that we going to change because you're mad. We just trying to see if we can help you understand who we are. So we have to seek them out. Those guys sought David out. And then they, watch this, now they saw David out, but they began to, watch this, disconnect from what wasn't working. Saul wasn't working. So they began to disconnect from Saul because it wasn't working. Watch this, I wanted to start here. Go to 1 Chronicles, the 12th chapter. We go back there now. Verse 16, and there came of the children of Benjamin, that's one tribe, and Judah, another tribe, to the hold unto David. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, If ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, my heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me to my enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our father look thereon and rebuke it. That's powerful. That's powerful. See, I tell people this all the time. Especially I see somebody who teetering on the edge, like they upset with something and they not satisfied because things not going their way. I tell them, look, if you're going to walk away, just walk away quietly and by yourself. Because not so much that I'm concerned about people leaving. That's not what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about Galatians 6 and 7. God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's why David was able to speak so boldly right here, because David say, if you coming and trying to cause trouble, you just sowing seed for yourself. First of all, God gonna stop you. Because you're not dealing with me.
Right.
You're dealing with the God who sent me.
Right.
Because it's not my agenda.
Right.
It's his.
Yes, sir.
And so you can't stop him. You come against me thinking you're stopping him, but then he gonna stop you because you're coming against me trying to stop him.
Mm.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So I tell people, walk away, just go away, just disappear in the night. Just go on, just quietly. Watch what you say. It's maybe hard because you may be mad, but just watch what you say, because, you know, God hears everything.
Yes, he does.
And so you're held accountable for what you, some people think that's fear, trying to put fear in people. No, it's not trying to put fear, because look, you can leave if you want. That's your choice. That's your right. But don't leave trying to rip apart what God is doing. Because then now you're putting your hands on God. And you're putting your hands on what God is trying to accomplish. Is this making sense? In order, watch this, in order to connect accurately, it is not going to be convenient. It's not going to be convenient. The woman with the issue of blood, she had the press. Do y'all know the background of the woman with the issue of blood? First of all, the woman with the issue of blood, first of all, she was breaking so many laws. And she was breaking so many man-made laws, because she was seeking and going after Jesus. So she was breaking, first of all, she wasn't supposed to be in the city because she was unclean.
Right?
So, the doctors couldn't help her no more. According to man, she wasn't helped. She was going to have to just stay unclean. But this woman made up in her mind that I'm going after Jesus. I'm going after him. Then she decreed her own manifestation. She said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she had to press through the crowd. It wasn't convenient. Now, let's use our imagination here, because a lot of times we read the Bible and we read the story, and we sometimes don't understand the background of the story, of how significant this was. First of all, you know, it was against the law for her to be in the city, right? Then second of all, she pressed through the crowd. So watch this. How many people did she bump into that told her, we're going to turn you in? But none of that detoured her. None of that stopped her. None of that caused her to turn around. None of that, all those inconveniences. You must get to a point in your life. I know I've said this before, but this is a great time to say it again. You have to get to a level of maturity in your life that you refuse to turn your back on who God has connected you to. You refuse to turn your back. Remember, the only two reasons that we can walk away from covenant is because of death, is one. And the second one is because God has, the person who we connect to just ain't doing right, just ain't changing, and God say, walk away. That's the only two reasons. So any other reason is invalid, invalid. There are no other reasons. There are no other reasons to walk away. So if that's the case, I have to become to a level of maturity in my Christian walk that I refuse to turn my back on those I'm connected to. So now, remember we talked about earlier that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, or God's love. So now you say, well, I don't know, Brother Leroy, I don't know about all that. Well, did God ever turn his back on you? Oh, if the walls could talk, as the old saying goes, if these walls could talk, and God never turned his back on us. And that love is shed abroad in our hearts. By who? The Holy Ghost. Is that making sense?
Yes.
So you have to, when you have to seek after. There shouldn't be nobody come and look for you. You should be visible. Your those who you connect to should see you.
Yes, sir.
They should know that you're there.
Yes, sir.
See, that means I want to be here. That means I love what you love.
Right.
We on the same team. Yes, we going the same direction. I'm in the car with you.
Yeah.
You going to New Orleans? I'm going to New Orleans too. We let's ride together. We receive in the same direction. We receiving the same instructions. We receiving the same results. Our leader will not always pass our direction. Our leader will not always go the direction we think they ought to go. One of the best ways, funny thing, I never forget Dr. Price. I actually saw the actual teaching he did. It was hilarious. I mean, it was funny then, but when he did it, it was very serious. He said, he was teaching, and he was giving revelation, and people kind of looking at him like he was crazy. He said, oh, you think you're smarter than me? Well, then why you ain't up here teaching if you think you're smarter than me? Why you sitting there and I'm sitting up here? He had a right to say that. Because God was showing him something that he wasn't showing them. And so we have to be open with our leaders to realize they're going to cross some bridges that we hadn't crossed yet. They're going to go into some territories that we hadn't gone into yet. Because if we were able to go into territories that they haven't gone into yet, then why God called them and didn't call us? Are you seeing this? So there are going to be some times. There are going to be some times where our leader, we looking and oh, here it is. A lot of times, then it's right. I've had it happen to me a number of times with apostle. I just see it. I say, okay, I see that we're going that direction. All of a sudden, he say, nope, we're going this direction. I'm like, man, what in the world? But because of maturity, I can shift and go that direction. Because you don't know what God... See, here, watch this. God didn't allow too many people to recognize Jesus when he was on earth. The reason why he did not let them recognize who Jesus was while he was on the earth is because he was trying to get Jesus to the cross.
That's right.
If Satan would have figured out who Jesus was, Jesus would still be alive today. Walking around trying to go to the cross. So God can't tell everybody the same thing. God has to tell certain people certain things that can lead us in the direction, and we have to trust and follow. And what God, watch this. And if you're connected properly, God will allow you to see the direction and then tell you your part. See, if I'm in a car with somebody who knows how to get to New Orleans, I don't really need to know how to get to New Orleans.
Right.
All I got to know how to do is get in the car.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You see, so I know how to get in the car, but I don't need to know how to get, because the person I'm riding with know how to get there.
Right.
Are you seeing this? So sometimes our leader know how to get somewhere that we don't know how to get to. We don't need to know where we're going or how to get there. Just get in the car. Watch this. You say, well, I can't just get in the car. I got to know what's going on. Well, then that means you ain't trusting God. Because you said, God told me to connect to this person. So that means when you're hesitant about a direction that your leader is going in, you're not questioning your leader, you're questioning God. Because you said, see, this is why apostolic is willing. It's not about force. I'm not forcing you to go. The doors are unlocked. You can, while we're rolling 60 miles an hour, you can open the door and jump out anytime. You can jump out anytime. Anytime you want, open the door and just roll on out. You roll on anytime you get ready. This is the door. This ain't no, we ain't got no child lock. Because we all mature.
Right. That's good.
Ain't no child lock on the door. Yeah, no, we ain't doing none of that. We going to a certain place. I don't know the directions. I know how to get in the car. My leader knows how to get there. And so for me to be hesitant about where my leader is going after I said this is who God has connected me to, because that's what God said. I said God said this. Ain't nobody prophesied to you and said, thus said the Lord, this is where you're supposed to be. You said, this is who God has connected me to. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
One of the things that, this is one of the major problems with America. We want freedom, but we don't want the greatest characteristic of freedom, which is responsibility. We want freedom. See, we want to be able to say whatever we want to say, but we don't. We want to say what we want to say, but we don't want to deal with the repercussions of what we say. See, we want freedom, but we don't want responsibility of freedom. One of the greatest responsibilities of freedom is being my brother's keeper.
That's right.
See, we don't really live in a free country. Because we got rules and laws, because we know there's some fools that live here. For instance, this is how I govern my, one of the ways I govern my life. All the ladies that I deal with that are younger than me, they're my daughters. All the young ladies that are the same age with me, they're my sisters. All the ladies that are older than me, they're my mothers. I can't violate none of them. See, but we know we got people out there, men out there that would violate that. So that's why you have rape laws. People really can't have true freedom was in the Garden of Eden, when God said you can eat anything you want, just don't touch this tree. And it didn't have the self-discipline not to touch that tree. See, so this is why, watch this. So this is why. In the apostolic, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty or freedom. Or why? Because when you choose, you're now saying, I'm taking responsibility for my results. So that's why you got to seek. That's why ain't no leader come to you saying, thus said the Lord, you're supposed to be here. Because if something ever go wrong, you're going to say, you told me to be here.
Right.
Then you're going to blame somebody else for your choices. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So you must seek. That's why you must seek that person. You have to go after that person at the agenda. You can't just, it's not going to be convenient. It's not going to be always up your alley. I got some ugly ways. You got some ugly ways. So I don't want a leader that's catering to my ugly ways.
Right.
Because I can't mature that way.
Right.
I can't grow. I can't get to where God wants me to get if my leader is always having to seek me out. Sometimes your leader ought to be able to tell you what they got to tell you and walk away. And you watch this, and you within yourself say, go through this process. Okay, Lord, you told me to, this is who I'm connected to. You're not going to let him do anything or her do anything to me that will harm me. So I have to at least consider what they're saying.
Yes, sir.
And if it don't fit me, then I'm still going to keep my mouth shut.
Right.
And I'm going to let God work it out.
Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Because, see, this. If my leader can speak a word to me this time, and may miss it this time, and I forget all other times they were accurate, and just focus on this time, possibly it could be a test to see if you're really dedicated or not.
Yes, sir.
And the test didn't come from them. See, God ain't playing no game. God ain't, when you talk about going to another level with God, God gonna make sure you're ready for that next level.
Right.
Because when you go to the next level, there are bigger challenges.
Yes,
and when there are bigger challenges, never forget this. Maturity is not about what you know. Maturity is not about what you know. Maturity is about how you behave. Don't forget that. Maturity is not about what you know. It's about how you behave. When you face a challenge or you face a situation, how do you behave? That shows me whether you're mature or not. So that means you can know some things and still not be mature. Because if you can't, watch this, if you can't apply what you know, then you ain't maturing. If you can't apply what you know to your situation, then you ain't growing. You're just accumulating knowledge. See, you have to be able to apply what you know to your situation. And that process of applying it is what is maturity. That's maturity. Maturity, one of the most... Peter matured. Because you see Peter's behavior begins to change. Peter's behavior changes. We had a chance to see Peter from when he come off the boat from fishing all the way to becoming an apostle. You see his maturation process. Peter was able to mature, not based on what he knew, because Peter knew some stuff. Peter was one of the few people in the Bible that knew who Jesus was before Jesus ever said anything. Because God revealed it to him. But then 3 verses later, start acting fool again.
Right.
So Peter knew some things, but you begin to see his behavior change. You begin to see him mature. So it's not about what you know. Is about knowing how to apply it to your situation. When you face a challenge, how you react? Are you going to pout and whine? That's what kids do. When they face something that they can't control, they throw temper tantrums. Am I right?
Right.
So let's translate to adulthood. We face situations and we bawl and cry like we hopeless. That means you're really not maturing. That means you're still a baby in Christ. So now you got to go for some more training. See, when you face situations, how you behave in those situations shows maturity. I know a lot of people, they know a lot of stuff. But soon as something hit them, I'm like, you've been sitting in the same service I've been sitting in. Have you been hearing the same word I've been hearing? You act like... I'm closing with this one. Apostle is trying to make transitions for funerals. And so a lot of times he'll tell them, hey, look, don't open the casket. Do the viewing before, but once the casket closed, let it be closed.
Right.
We just had a funeral. Apostle gave the instructions. Lady said, oh, Dr. Thompson, I want to open the casket. Open the casket. She go to see the body. She fall out. Bawling and crying. Now, wait a minute. He been dead for 2 weeks. So why you wait to this point to bawl and cry? Because number one, you know he born again. So you know where he's at if you believe the word. I'm talking about maturity, people. I'm not saying you can't cry at a funeral. Ain't what I'm saying, because human nature, there's a separation. But the Bible said we're not all to cry like a people without hope, or cry like a people without a plan. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, all, I mean, but it was, let me, can I be real?
Yes, sir.
I wasn't laughing at the woman in her pain, but I was laughing at Apostle's expression.
Right.
Because of, when he did it, the opening cat, the woman fell out, Apostle was like, he was like, did he just say, and then he went apostolic. He said, close the casket.
Right.
Paul bearers, get around the casket.
Right.
Undertaker, come on, get this. He's Larry around again in front of start reading scriptures. Let's go.
Yeah.
Why? Because there should have been a certain level of maturity.
Right.
See, we as the body of Christ, and I'm closing here, we as the body of Christ, we have a point, the reason for us going and hearing our leaders is so that we can mature or hear information that we can receive and process so that when we face a situation, we can behave in a certain manner. I'll see y'all next week.